and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your well-paced host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us this evening?
Yes, I do. So first off, more UFO sightings in North Carolina. A swarm of glowing orbs was captured on video hovering off the water over the Pamlico Sound. The lights appeared suddenly, floated motionless for about 90 seconds. Disappeared, reappeared, and then vanished just as suddenly, this time for good. 14 orbs were captured on video floating in a cluster. This sighting comes on the heels of several other UFO sightings in North Carolina just a few weeks ago. Some observers have proposed that the objects were flares. Also in North Carolina, grainy photos of Bigfoot were taken last week on one of the northern coves of Lake James. I walked right onto this creature and knew immediately it was a Bigfoot, one witness said. He was standing there watching us, swaying back and forth. I guess he felt safe, because the four of us were in a boat and he was on shore. There's a bug in WhatsApp that allows hackers to steal information from other users by sending them a GIF, so that's fun. Let's move right on from that to our next story, which is finally the FBI officially confirmed Samuel Little's story. He is now the worst serial killer in American history, having confessed to killing 93 people between 1970 and 2007. He was already serving 3 consecutive life sentences for 3 of these murders, but the FBI confirmed at least 50 of those 90 killings and believe they may still confirm more. By comparison, the Green River Killer was only convicted of 49 murders, though he confessed to 20 more than that. John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy were only proved to have killed 30 or so, lightweights that they were. Back to you, Chauncey.
I'm surprised I haven't heard of this one. Who is this?
Samuel Little.
Samuel Little.
Which, I mean, and until today, when this news was released, you know, he was just some guy who'd killed 3 people, you know.
And then
he's
at this point,
barely even a murderer, you
right,
know, by those standards.
Right,
3 people, come on. Right. That's single digits.
This is America, you know. We expect more.
Precisely. And so, sure, he'd claimed to have killed, you know, 90 people. He claimed this last year after he'd already been in prison for a while. So people were like, yeah, sure you did. You're a big shot. But now they confirmed, oh, yeah, this guy did kill at
right.
least, you know, 50 of these people. So.
Yeah, that is wild. You know, it's like, I don't know. That's I'm exceptionally surprised because, you know, I kind of come from a household of
true crime maniacs.
Of women that are into true crime, which I think is a real common thing here, which is,
yeah.
is you know, I'm not sure if it's makes sense or no sense that most horrific serial killing true crime style stories happen to women, and women also seem to be the largest fans of the genre, or at least the least involved largest fans. The largest fans that are involved are men. You
well,
know,
yeah, because it's a horror drop. It's a horror genre. Why would you be, you know, why would men be afraid of serial killers?
What's that thing say? Well, you know, but I mean, are you solely watching
Mind
it?
Hunter.
Oh, are they solely watching it out of like fear porn, or is it because it pertains to them and therefore it's more interesting? And I guess that actually makes sense. So when I'm watching it with my wife and stuff, a lot of the time it's like I'm just all like, oh, I would never do that. You know, I feel the need to clarify that I have no bodies hiding somewhere that she's unaware of, just the ones she knows about, you know.
that was a concerning sentence on like three levels, but let's skate by that.
All right. UFO sightings in North Carolina. You know, personally, it makes more sense to me that they're orbs and stuff like that than contraptions. You know, it seems like it would be energy based in the future. We seem to be moving through technology pretty quickly, so.
Yeah, I don't know why our conception of, like, the ultimate technology is something that's just, like, squishy, you know, infinite light or something. Something that's not even recognizable as technology.
Right.
I don't know. It's possible.
A beam-me-up kind of sky.
I did watch the video, and it was pretty strange. The guy made a point of, like, showing us that there was nothing else in the sky. Right. Anywhere around, so, like, you know, maybe they're flares, but where did they come from?
Right.
And they weren't moving, they're just sitting there, which I guess could be the angle or something, but...
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know, I'm just guessing. I'm not a flare expert.
No, I don't mean about what it could be doing. I'm saying they really were just sitting there.
They
weren't falling in any sort of apparent fashion.
No, they were, like, really bright, large stars that were just there, and then they vanished.
Ah, that is crazy.
It's, yeah, I don't have any idea what they could be, but as I said, I'm not a flare expert.
Right. Is anybody? Anybody outside of the UFO community?
I don't know, people who make flares. I'm sure there's a, you know, Flare John McFlarrington listening to this, you right. know, in his flare workshop being like, oh, these know-nothings.
Right.
I have a flare that can do that.
Flare job, flare. All right, and then UFO sighting in North Carolina, you know.
That is what we were just talking about.
I find all that kind of weird, you know, because I kind of think of Pacific Northwest. I was at a cabin this weekend, and I was in the middle of nowhere. You know, it felt like I was in the middle of nowhere, and by Pacific Northwest standards, I was nowhere near the middle of nowhere. But it felt like it to me, yeah. You know, and it's like.
You're talking about the Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like there's like an apple orchard out front of this cabin that I'm at,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a wild apple orchard. And you like go walking around the property, and there's bear leftovers, scat,
okay. sure,
all over the place. You know, and then when we're on the porch, John's just all, yeah, you know, it's like nighttime, and we're kicking it on the porch, and he's all, yeah, you wouldn't go out there now because chances are they're out there shaking trees and eating apples right now as we're yeah. sitting right here. And I'm just, that's terrifying.
Scat singing jazz bears.
Right.
The worst.
Right.
Ba, 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 I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, totally. And then our final one was What's Up app. What is, we only have a few minutes till the break here. What is WhatsApp? What's it do? I don't even know what it does.
I think it's kind of like Snapchat.
Is this the one that would make your face old? Oh, it is like Snapchat.
Yeah,
I know what
no,
it is.
No, I think you. It's a form of communication between humans using technology.
Right. It's the one where kids send things they don't want their parents to know about.
Precisely.
Until they're old enough to realize that all their friends are screen grabbing it.
Well, anyway, you can load all this stuff into a GIF file and send it. And it
executes the GIF. I get yes. you. Yeah. All right. That's crazy. All right. So... You are listening to Radio Wasteland, if you haven't figured that out, I'll tell you right now. And coming up next, we have our guest, Steve Ward. Steve Ward is going to talk to us about his topic, from folklore to flying saucers, unexpected connections in the paranormal. That is one heck of a title.
Yes.
One heck of a topic, you know, and it's a topic that I've been interested in for quite a while because, you know, it's I do find some of these stories and histories, there are parallels and... stuff to be a little unexplainable. So,
yep. Well, coming up, it's all connected.
It's all connected. All right, so you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for our guest, Steve Ward.
Oh, yeah. Swing that thing.
Do you believe in a heaven or in a dust? Do you believe? Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
We're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them.
It's Customer Appreciation Month with some of the best deals of the year on the cars and SUVs Reading loves to drive.
Gas prices are ridiculous right now. Drive a 2019 Kia Niro CUV, get an estimated 50 miles per gallon, and receive $1,500 in Kia customer cash. That's a customer appreciation deal.
Or how about a super affordable 2020 Kia Sportage with all-wheel drive? Winter's coming, and if you want to go anywhere, on-road or off, this is your SUV. Get your best price and $2,000 Kia customer cash at Reading Kia.
And every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. Warranty's a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia. Kia.com or retailer for details.
Sale ends 10/31/2019. Billy is the marketing manager for Reading Kia.
For the vehicles Northern California loves to drive, nobody does it better than Reading Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, 418 East Cypress, ReadingKia.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at Instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Steve Ward. Steve, do we have you there with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for coming on the show. I'm pretty excited about this. I hear you got some coming up here with Mac Maloney. We had him on not too long ago, and that was a lot of fun.
Mac's a blast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I was telling Kara before the break here that from folklore to flying saucers, you know, the connections, there's something that I've really been interested in. Because I feel like these ancient aliens, they're throwing out all these connections and stuff, but I feel like there are so many just sort of weird little tales that catch on and hold on and are reiterated throughout history that there has to be some kind of connection going on there.
Well, of course, Jacques Vallée. Now, Jacques Vallée was is a computer scientist and mathematician. He came over from France in the 1960s. And he became a colleague of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And, of course, Hynek was attached to Project Blue Book back in the old days, and they've made this recent television show where they've kind of reimagined reality and history, but that's another story. But they became colleagues. And Jacques Vallée approached the UFO problem from a very scientific standpoint initially. And his first two books, including Challenge to Science, they Challenge to Science dealt with a wave of landings in France in about the early mid-50s. And what they were a series of, sort of egg-shaped silver craft. The entities that got out were usually kind of small, wearing kind of silver coveralls and so forth. Anyway, by the way, this is before the Greys kind of came in much later. That's another thing we can talk about. But because back in those days, we used to have quite a variety of aliens or entities that people were reporting with these close encounters. Well, his third book was called Passport to Magonia. And it was like so many of these researchers, he kind of threw his hands up and said, look, he even writes in it, he says, this is not a scientific book. But he started to see that there were many interesting patterns between various traditions and folklore and some modern-day UFO experiences.
Yeah, so this is where you're picking up from? I'm sorry, I really kind of want to hop right into the meat there, but I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay, I just wanted to give a dramatic pause in case you wanted to respond.
Yeah.
So he quotes heavily in Passport to Magonia is a fascinating book, but anything by Vallée is really excellent. He's written a series of his journals, these giant volumes that covered the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So you can't go wrong by getting into Vallée's works. But in Passport to Magonia, he quotes heavily from a gentleman named Walter Evans Wentz. Now, he wrote a book in 1911 called The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. And he went around interviewing people in Ireland about their experiences with the fairies, the little people, the elementals. And now, when we talk about fairies, you know, we're not talking about these benign little Tinkerbells that did good deeds for people. The fairies were kind of feared, and they could be beneficial, but they could have a negative side. And they even, one of the names for them they had was the good people, because they did not want to accidentally incur their wrath. Well, Wentz went around interviewing people the same way we do nowadays when we talk to people about their UFO sighting or seeing a Bigfoot or whatever. So these were one-on-one encounters and in real time. These weren't just stories handed down from a great uncle. So, and some of the patterns, some of the parallels that he found were, well, of course, in modern day UFO experiences, we're very familiar with the concept of missing time. Well, that same element happened with encounters with the fairies. If you were taken by the fairies or if you encountered them, sometimes you would experience this time distortion. You thought you were just spending a few minutes or a few hours with them, but a whole day might pass. But now usually instead of being whisked away to an unscheduled medical examination aboard some kind of a craft, you might be taken to what they thought was inside a mountain, or perhaps in the underground kingdom of the fairies. Of course, some abductees believe they were taken to an underground run by the aliens. But there are several other things, like in both cases you might encounter perilous. Both the UFO entity sometimes and the fairies would carry something like a tube or a wand, and you would find yourself unable to move. You could be what they call pixie-led, where there would be something, you would have some kind of urging or something would guide you to a particular clearing or part of the forest, and then the fairies would take you. But that's fairly common in much of the UFO literature, where people, there was a case in, I think, British Columbia, where two women just got this urge to stop the car and go stargazing. Well, standing right there when they got out were a couple of Greys. So this is there's several other things too, but there are many, many parallels between the two.
And yeah, interesting because, of course, you know, how would they explain technology that they had never even seen before? I mean, we're looking at dark age technology, and you know, that is really interesting. Those are the parallels that I've been trying to think of, because it's like they make these parallels to way back in human history and antiquity. There's nothing written down, you know, and you know, it's like you know, this is definitely striking a nerve with me as being plausible.
Well, it's interesting because there are some cases there was a series of landings and encounters, at this time with what you might call giants as opposed to the fairies. But some of the little people were seen there, too. 1977 in Dubbin, Wales, F.W. Holliday and Randall Pugh wrote a book called The Dubbin Enigma. And they talked about a lot of parallels between folklore and modern-day UFO experiences, such as people were seeing these seven-foot-tall humanoids. And in their context, they would say, well, they looked kind of like they were wearing boiler suits, but only these particular entities had arms that were kind of elongated. They were quite agile. They could jump over fences. And oftentimes they would spook people by peering in their window, which was rather high up off the ground.
We were just commenting that that's absolutely terrifying.
Right. That's a yeah. Horror movie staple right there.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It's a fascinating book, and there's several other books written about that time period. But some of the people that were in close proximity with these entities developed some kind of a weird dermatological condition, some kind of a skin rash. Well, there used to be something called elf sickness or elf burn, which was also some kind of a dermatological condition. Now, of course, there's no way we could ever say definitively that it's the same thing, but there there's one particular case. I don't know if you've heard of Joe Symington and the pancakes.
No,
I like to call the cosmic pancakes from outer space.
No.
Well, this took place in Eagle River, Wisconsin. This is a case that will bring everything together. This is 1961, April, Eagle River, Wisconsin. Joe is a plumber by trade and a chicken farmer by day. He's out on his farm. He says he hears, and by the way, you can hear him tell his story on some of the old YouTube footage. But he says he hears this god-awful noise like knobby tires on a pavement. He looks out, and he sees this classic sort of flying saucer hovering just off the ground on his property, and the door is open. Now, he approaches this thing. He's not afraid because while it's a very strange situation, there's nothing threatening there. And he can see people inside that as he gets closer, they look like they're probably about 5 feet tall, wearing some kind of coveralls and some kind of a skull cap. And one of them leans out and hands him a bowl or a chalice or something like that. Looks like it's made of chrome, the same material as the craft. And he indicates through sign language that he wants water in it. Now, Joe's looking around in there, and he sees there's some kind of controls in there and so forth. But this is where it gets really weird. He looks behind him, and he sees what looks like another guy cooking something on a flameless grill. Now, the thing is, so Joe dutifully goes and gets water from his well. The thing is that when, you know, Dr. J. Allen Hynek actually investigated this along with the Air Force back when he was still attached to Blue Book, there was a local judge there that knew Joe. Everybody believes that Joe didn't make this up, that Joe really believes this happened to him. And that the thing is, if you look at some of the patterns here, they're very interesting. Now, the Air Force, while they did not believe this really happened, decided to spend our taxpayers' money and examine the contents of the pancakes. Now, here's a couple other things I want to get to before I get to that.
Well, unfortunately,
go ahead.
We're coming up on a hard break here. We're going to come back to this story. Both Kara and I are very enthralled. I want to know where we're going with this pancake thing.
Well, we're going to go. We're going to talk about what these gentlemen looked like.
Awesome. I'm sorry to have to cut it off. You're listening to Steve Ward here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Hi. Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Steve Ward. Steve, before we were so rudely interrupted by our commercial break, you were telling us about the guy Joe. There was this ship that landed in his yard, at the edge of his yard. He went out there. The guy was motioning him for him to get some water. He saw somebody behind him cooking on what appeared to be a flameless stove. He went to get the water, and now he's coming back with the water. That's about where we left off.
Right. So he gives him the water, and in return they give him what looks like three pancakes. And he takes the pancakes, which he says that they taste terrible. And these are the pancakes that the Air Force decided to spend taxpayers' money on, even though they didn't believe any of it,
right,
and see what the contents were. Okay. But we'll get to that in a moment. We were talking about how the local judge, Judge Carter, who knew Joe, believed that Joe really had an experience, or believed he did. But he interviewed him, and he said, now his first question was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. He says, Joe, what did these guys look like, little green men? And Joe says, no, Judge, they were kind of swarthy-looking, like Italians. So
okay.
John Keel in Operation Trojan Horse. Now Keel is the one that wrote the Mothman Prophecies. He's sort of I call him the mentor I never knew. When I read UFO's Operation Trojan Horse, it really completely changed my paradigm of the whole UFO field. He tended to find patterns in what seemingly disparate types of paranormal activity. But at any rate, Keel found this old press conference from General Spatz. Now, he's one of the big generals of the of World War II. And in part of this press conference, he says, there's no truth to the rumor that Spaniards are driving flying saucers or that they're coming from Spain. Okay, now, I don't think Italy and Spain had a secret space program, but I could be wrong.
Right.
Now,
or that they're particularly all that swarthy. You know.
That's right, exactly. Well, this is Joe. Joe's a little bit, has some rough edges, okay?
Right.
So, now Keel also, and again, this is before the Greys that we think of as the classic aliens, didn't really start showing up in mass until like the late 70s, early 80s with the movie Close Encounters and Whitney Strieber's books. You could find a Grey occasionally, but you're finding all kinds of other variety of alleged entities that came out of these craft. Keel was documenting several people that would that they said they saw people that were very humanoid, and they weren't terribly sophisticated in their descriptions either. They would say, well, they looked kind of European or dark foreign types. The infamous Ingrid Cold that Woodrow Derenberger is supposed to have contacted during the whole Mothman fiasco fits that description to a T. And even some of the, when you get into another can of worms, the Men in Black phenomena, some of those characters kind of follow the same pattern. So what does this really mean? I'm not sure. But let's find out what was in the pancakes, what the Food and Drug Administration found out. Now we have to segue again to Evans Wentz, the gentleman who documented all these, you know, one-on-one encounters with the fairies in just like 100 years ago.
Right.
He was told by an Irishman, he said, the fairies eat fresh meat, they drink fresh water, just like the water that Joe served them, but they never take salt. Guess what was the missing ingredient in the cosmic pancakes from outer space?
No salt.
There was no sodium.
And that's
no
why
sodium.
They tasted terrible?
Well, possibly, but if you find the right YouTube thing, you'll find out that Joe said he would have never taken a ride with these guys because their food tasted so bad. Now, let's just step back a moment and look at the absurdity of this. Perhaps, I don't know if this is a real event or not, but in a lot of elements of the paranormal don't make sense. I mean, if this is some kind of a space pod from the mothership, what the heck is going on with their plumbing that they need an external source of water? Why do they cook food and waste all that space on a grill when they could develop freeze-dried food?
Right.
And remember, the astronauts used to have Tang in a little bag, right? So that then the other thing is, in modern day, we tend to think, again, if this is a real event, we tend to think, well, it's kind of strange, but it's got to be E.T. But 100 or 200 years ago, they would have said Joe had an encounter with the fairies, and even though they arrived in a strange metal chariot, and you were always warned about eating the food from fairyland, because if you did, sometimes you wouldn't be able to get back. But there's other threads you can follow. There's another case where some miners in California in the mid-50s saw a little entity kind of dressed a little bit like a leprechaun. He's got some kind of a tweed-like cloth coat on with buckles. This little guy grabs a bucket of water and takes it up into his craft. Now these guys, I guarantee you that John Black and John Van Allen, these two miners, never met Joe Symington and vice versa.
Right.
So that's just one of some of the strange patterns and parallels. There's other things we can talk about too. If you go back into Elias Owen, and he wrote a book called On Welsh Folklore, and he talked about how the wayfarers at night, the men along the road, would be afraid to encounter a mist because they might be taken by the fairies and lifted up in the air, and then for a little mischief, the fairies would deposit them someplace far from home and just leave them to find their way back. Well, let's look at a case in England, 1980. Alan Godfrey in Todd Morden, England. He's a police officer. He's out looking for some displaced cattle. And that's actually another interesting thread we can follow if we have time. But he's driving along the road. He sees this strange swirling craft. And all of a sudden, he's a little further down the road, almost as if the fairies or the elementals had lifted him up and set him down the road a little further. Well, later on, he finds out that, he's missing time. So a few months go by, and he's able to set up with a therapist to try and recapture these memories. So during the session, now he is destined for one of these unscheduled medical examinations with no deductible and no copay.
Right.
But before that, he's describing what's going on. He's under hypnosis. He's describing what's going on in the craft. And there's a pause, and he says, "There's a bloody dog in here." There was a large black dog that he described, about the size of a German shepherd. And the interesting thing there is, if you know the folklore of the British Isles, it sounds like, perhaps, the black shuck, that the black spectral dog that shows up in old castle ruins and along the moors. Even here in the U.S., there's a tradition of the black dog, sometimes in association with UFO activity and so forth. So, and there's even other things. When he described the entities on board the craft, basically humanoid, but there was one very tall and the other ones were short. That happens in some of the cases with the grays. There's a tall gray and the other ones are short. I interviewed a lady named Missy Lamontagne who had an abduction experience. And she was in a situation where these pale grays on one side and there was this tall, almost angelic entity on her right side, kind of a female presence, sounding something very similar to what Whitley Strieber described. And if you go back into folklore, it was very common to have the tall fairy or the fairy queen sort of in control of the smaller ones or the lesser ones. So it gets pretty crazy when you follow this path. And, it can't be definitive. You can't say, well, look, these are absolutely connected. But it is fascinating when you start looking at these different parallels and connections.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look back and you say, okay, well, there must be something more to myth. And then you also say, I don't believe in magical powers. I believe in science. You know, this is not necessarily a far leap from one to the next in order to get there. We have been totally just enthralled with these stories. This is nothing that I've ever heard before, but totally fits into kind of the questions I've been asking myself about more recent history with these mythological comparisons that people have made.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about this topic before. I'm given to understand that there's folklore too about fairies in the past, you know, riding around in craft that was considered strange by the standards of the time, you know, ships and,
right.
and chariots and so forth.
Well, let's not chase it too far. We're about to go into another commercial break here. You're listening to Steve Ward. We're talking about From Folklore to Flying Saucers, Unexpected Connections in the Paranormal. You're listening to Radio Wasteland, so come on back.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious cream morning sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in Jefferson.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Steve Ward. We're talking about From Folklore to Flying Saucers, Unexpected Connections in the Paranormal. I guess you got some speaking engagements coming up, Toledo Paranormal and Bigfoot Conference, and you have your own regular podcast. Well, let's talk about the Paranormal and Bigfoot Conference first. I assume this is the topic that you're currently discussing, right?
I'm going to go through a whole array of things. I'll be covering a lot of cryptid stuff too, like the idea that the Loch Ness Monster may not be actually a physical creature, but maybe something more like a psychic projection. And one of the reasons there is that F.W. Holliday, who investigated the Loch Ness Monster back in the 70s, found that many other people were seeing these type of creatures all over the place, in lakes in Ireland and Scotland, but many of these lakes were so small, there wasn't a big enough fish population to even feed one of these creatures, much less a colony. There's a lot of other things. Loch Ness turns out to be a UFO hotspot, and a lot of things to consider there. But also Bigfoot. There is some suggestion that Bigfoot may have some kind of paranormal overtones as well. But, yeah, it's going to be in Toledo, Ohio, the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference. Ken Gerhardt's going to be there, who's a very well-known cryptozoologist. and Chitan Noir and Donald Allison. So it's only about $10, so it'd be a fun day to come out and check it out. And I have a podcast called The High Strangeness Factor on the Paranormal UK Radio Network every 2 weeks, or as they say, across the pond, every fortnight.
All right. Yeah, The High Strangeness Factor is the factor that I really like a lot in of these things, that you know, the stuff that really just kind of blows your mind. You know, like you were saying with Loch Ness, you know, I've heard this once, and I've tried to bring it up with people a couple of times, and a lot of the time they haven't heard it, but I'm going to guess that you've heard it. And that is that the sides in the stone in Loch Ness, there's something like quartz that they're saying might possibly be creating a situation through vibrations that's actually opening a time portal, which is why we can't find Nessie, that it's actually passing in and out of whatever prehistoric era the plesiosaur is from and then coming back in search of food.
It's just that it likely isn't a plesiosaur. Plesiosaurs were air breathing, and even if they survived into the present day, it may be something else. And Holliday early on thought it was a flesh and blood creature, but from the descriptions, he thought it was something more like an oversized mollusk. And his candidate was something called a Tullamonstrum gregarium, which has been extinct for about 3 million years and only got to be about 3 feet long. But the idea was that it was something. In fact, he chronicled some incredible sightings of this thing crossing the road. I mean, this thing was on land. And the people that saw it said it didn't have legs. It was slithering more like a giant slug. Yeah. So I got to Loch Ness back in 1973 when I backpacked in Europe. And I had read Holliday's first book called The Great Orm, that's O-R-M, which is just an ancient word for a worm, of Loch Ness. And I was looking at the water to see if I could see anything. But I was also kind of looking over my shoulder just in case one of these things decided to cross the road.
Right. Yeah, that is just wild. And there are, you know, one of my interests that I really have is this this sort of anomalous stuff in our history that maybe shows that humans are older and stuff like that, sort of like Michael Cremo, Forbidden Archaeology, stuff like that. And it just makes me think, when it comes to all these other things, how many sort of, I guess, loosely proven specific situations are there that people are just scientifically discarding because it doesn't fit the larger narrative that we figured out, you know, because we see this in some older stuff where they discard stuff that they can't explain. And it makes me think that there's got to be something out there. I'm a raging skeptic at the core, but the one thing I'm not skeptical about is there's definitely something out there that we don't get.
Well, most of us, I think, are rational skeptics. You need to be skeptical, and you know, it's perfectly fine to speculate. You just don't want to be dogmatic
about these things. Yeah, absolutely.
And you and I are not cynics, and that's what you need to avoid, is the cynicism that people like, people like Philip Klass. I don't know if you remember who he was.
No, I don't.
But he was a big-time UFO debunker and kind of the nemesis of Stanton Friedman back in the old days.
Yeah, okay, I think I do know this, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's, you know, I think we've talked about this before on the show, that there seems to be two ways that people get into this paranormal stuff, and one is by having an experience that pulls them in, and the other is by loving all the fiction and then asking themselves, is there something to this fiction? And I definitely am the second category. You know, I've never actually had an experience myself. I just love the fiction so much, I want to know if there's something to it.
Well, I've had virtually nothing happen to me. I had one odd thing, but I was in junior high when the wave of sightings came over Michigan, and that's when Dr. Jalen Hynek said that some of them might be swamp gas. And, of course, the news media jumped on it, and all flying saucers, UFOs, were swamp gas from then on. But it was several months later in November was the first major sighting of the Mothman that chased two couples down Route 62 north of Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And I was pretty much a goner by that time.
Yeah, that's Kara's favorite. It's Kara's, she's the Mothman fan.
I'm into Mothman, I'm kind of a Mothman.
You need to go to the Mothman Festival every third weekend in September. And I usually speak there.
I do one of the
TNT tour hayrides where you have a guaranteed flyover of the Mothman. So it's a lot of fun. Good speakers. All the history and the geography is really fascinating there in Point Pleasant, right along the banks of the Ohio River.
Yeah, well, that sounds like an awesome, awesome good time.
I'd be into it.
Okay, so we're not too far from the end of the show here. So, you know, where can people find out more about you? Where can they see more of you?
I'm on Facebook. Just type in Steve Ward, and if you might want to type in Battle Creek as well, because that'll kind of narrow it down. You can find me easier. I can also be heard weekly as a correspondent on Matt Maloney's Military X-Files on the Distant Thunder Radio Network. And occasionally, this will be my last speaking engagement, probably through the winter. But, I'm sure I'll get another offer somewhere. And so who knows? Maybe you'll run into me somewhere at a convention.
Well, you have definitely been a new topic for us.
An illuminating presence.
Right, yeah. And it's funny because, Kara and I were talking about this during the break. It's like you were talking, then you'd pause to politely give me a chance to talk. And all of a sudden, and the only thing I could think as my question is, and then what happened? it's not very good interviewer question, I guess, but I'm just all, and then what happened?
We have just barely scratched the surface of this. And I would love to come back sometime and tell you some more.
I would love to, digging into some of those cryptids, digging into any old topic. You have been a lot of fun to have, a lot of fun to talk to, and we really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me and inviting me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. You've been listening to Steve Ward. We've been talking about From Folklore to Flying Saucers, Unexpected Connections in the Paranormal. Check him out online. Check us out online because you have been listening to Radio Wasteland.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.